And I want to thank you for having us tonight and for letting us share the burden here. And we have a table set out there in the lobby, and I just encourage you to go out there and check it out, and also take a prayer card and pray for us. But if you have any questions after the service, feel free to ask us. We'll be back there, and we'll be reading here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. It says there, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with these dear folks, Lord, and just help us to be a blessing and encouragement to them. And help us to see these great truths from your word tonight. All this we pray in your name. Amen. Just want to focus on that phrase right there. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, my friend, it doesn't say that there is a 50-50 chance. It doesn't say that it's a little bit difficult. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Now, if I asked you after the service, would you like to please the Lord? And you would say, well, Brother David, of course, that's a no-brainer. You know, that's why I'm here. But the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. We must believe in him. The Bible says in Romans that for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, can we fully understand everything that is in the Scriptures? Can we fully understand everything that the Lord has said, everything, justification? Can we understand all that? No, to its full extent. But we trust in it by faith, and we put our faith in the Lord. You know, my friend, a lack of faith will bring doubts. Now, what is faith? There in verse 1, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance," or in other words, "the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Things not seen. You know, sometimes we just cannot see it. We just cannot understand it, but we accept it and we believe it and we put our faith in the Lord. My friend, if we are walking only by sight, then there is no faith involved. We are not depending on the Lord. We need a total dependence on the Lord. Sometimes we get up to preach or do a Sunday school class or whatever it may be, and we say, well, you know, I've done this many times, or I can do this on my own strength. And we stop depending on the Lord. And we stop trust our own flesh, our own strength. But my friend, we need to put our faith in the Lord. We need to trust in him, that he will help us throughout the day and throughout our lives. You know, George Mueller, a saint in England who had a great ministry that impacted many lives, he said, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends." Faith begins where man's power ends. My friend, we need to let God be God and let God take control and put our faith in him. Now, you might say, Brother David, is faith something mysterious? Is faith something spooky? My friend, we use faith every day. When we walked into this building, we put our faith in the people that designed this building. When we send a letter, we put our faith in the postal system. When we deposit money, we put our faith in the bank, amen, and trust that it'll be there tomorrow. When we hear a story from a far country, we put our faith in that news reporter. Faith in a plane, amen. Pastor, I have a fear of flying. You know, I don't know if you've ever flown before, but when the plane's up there and the turbulence and the plane starts shaking, my hands get sweaty, and I'm just praying and hoping that the pilot is having a good day, amen? Because faith that plane will stay up there in the air, amen? A little more faith in medicine. You know, sometimes the doctor gives us, you know, a scribbled prescription. We can't even read it. We don't even have a clue what it says, but we trust and we have faith that that will help us. But my friend, we need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and only him for salvation. If you would look with me there in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. Don't lose your place there in Hebrews. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. You know, when we're out knocking doors, sharing the gospel to people, the common response here in the United States, Mexico, Argentina, wherever it may be, you know, when we say, what are you trusting in to get to heaven? You know, almost 99% of the time they say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Right. You know, I go to church on a regular basis. I was baptized when I was little. You know, I give a lot of money to the church. But my friend, look what this verse says right here. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not that something that we did. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, we cannot get to heaven by our own means. We need to put our faith in the Lord. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that is faith in God. Faith in what He did. My friend, we need to realize our sin condition. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no good in us. The Bible says, however, that the wages of sin is death. My friend, there is a punishment for our sin, and that is hell. And hell is a real place, a literal place. And people that die in their sins are going there, even tonight. And my friend, my desire for you is that you wouldn't go to that place. And I have good news for you. The Bible says, but God commendeth, God shows His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ, in His immense love, gave His life for us, shed His precious blood, and gave Himself on the cross of Calvary for us. And the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. My friend, tonight, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we need to realize your sin condition and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ only, for eternal life, for salvation. You know, it does not matter if you grew up in church, who your parents are, where you come from. What matters is that you have made a personal decision, that you have settled that in your heart, and that you know 100% for sure that you are saved. Don't walk out of these doors without knowing 100% of your salvation. But you know, we put our faith in God for our salvation, but why not put our faith in God for our family? Why not put our faith in God for our future? Why not put our faith in God for our finances? My friend, let God take control of our lives. You know, God, He likes it when we depend on Him, when we give Him the control of our lives. And a lot of times we don't want to do that. I don't like to do that. I like to be in control of my own life. And I want to, you know, just do everything that I think I want to do. But God has just a way of just changing plans. And He says, you know what? Just follow Me. I am in control of this. You know, in tithes and offerings, He says, try Me. And I'm paraphrasing, but in Malachi, He says, try Me and see if I will not bless you. Just try Me. Put your faith in Me. Turn with me there in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. You know, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And we see what a lack of faith will do to our lives. What a lack of faith will bring to our lives. In Mark chapter 4, in verse 37, the Bible says here, it's talking about Jesus and His disciples. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake Him, and they say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, my friend, Jesus wasn't worried about the storm. He was asleep. But in verse 40, He says, and He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? My friend, one of the things that a lack of faith will do to our lives is fear. It will bring fear. It will cripple us and will not let us go through our lives trusting in the Lord. My friend, through the storms of life, let us put our faith and trust in the Lord. And let us trust in Him that He will guide us through the storm of life. Look there in Matthew chapter 6. another thing that a lack of faith will bring to our lives. If you would please turn there to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. You know, a lack of faith brings fear, but also a lack of faith brings worry. Look there in verse 31. The Bible says there, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father, for your heavenly Father knoweth that he have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought." In other words, it's just saying, don't worry. Just don't worry for the tomorrow, for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. You know, in verse 31, it says, what shall we eat? And that's, as human beings, that's we worry about those things. What are we going to eat? How are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to clothe ourselves? How are we going to pay the insurance? How are we going to do this and pay for the hospital bill? How are we going to do all these things? But my friend, God is in control. If we just let Him, the Bible says, take no thought. Don't worry. Just deposit your faith in the Lord, and He will take care of your problem. Look there in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're just talking about faith. And we're going to see some examples of men here that please the Lord. But you know, the writer here, whether it's Paul or Luke or whoever it may be, he's trying to encourage these Hebrews to look to Jesus. You know, they were still, some of them were still in the Old Testament rituals. In the Old Testament, they were thinking about the sacrifices and the Levites. And he was just encouraging them. Look there in Hebrews 7:27. He's just encouraging them to look to Jesus. But in 7:27, the Bible says, "Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's." He's talking about the Old Testament sacrifices. "But this, for this he did once, when he offered up himself." Jesus Christ, my friend, the perfect sacrifice had been revealed. And he just says, you know, Moses is better. Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the angels. He's just showing them examples that Jesus is better. Jesus is the real deal. The perfect sacrifice has come. And we need to depend on Him. Why remain with the symbols when we have Jesus? And there in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 5, just want to see very briefly here four examples of four men that pleased the Lord. And in verse 5, we see the first example here. We see the life of Enoch. Bible says here, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." My friend, Enoch, he pleased the Lord. But how did he please the Lord? In Genesis chapter 5, twice we see the phrase, Enoch walked with God. You know, there's not a lot said about Enoch, but we see here in Genesis and in Hebrews that he walked with God. He had a daily relationship that grew with time every day. And, you know, I'm sure he had a family. I'm sure he had responsibilities. He had work. He had things he had to do, but he made time for the Lord. He carved out that time, that special time throughout the morning or evening to spend time with the Lord. You might be saying, "Brother David, these are the last times. We hear of wars and we hear of diseases, and these are the last times." But my friend, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says that every thought was evil continually, even back then. Those back then were dark days too. But Enoch spent time with the Lord, and he trusted the Lord. It was a time of faith. In Romans, we see the phrase, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." My friend, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be dwelling constantly in the Scriptures, meditating, reading on the Word of God, that the Word of God may dwell in our hearts constantly. you remember the story of Martha and Mary, Jesus was traveling with his disciples, visiting villages, healing people, performing miracles. And he went to Martha's house, Martha and Mary's house. And can you imagine having 12 people just show up randomly at your house? You know, that's a lot of people to feed, especially if they eat a lot like me. But Martha, the Bible says here that Martha started, she just started running around, not knowing what to do, just trying to get everything ready. And she was very frustrated. And the Lord Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things." But Mary, what did she do? She sat down and she listened to the Savior as he spoke and as he taught. And the Bible says that Mary chose the good part that shall not be taken away from her. My friend, let us not get too busy for God, too busy in this life, and too busy that we don't have time to spend time with the Lord. Look there back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. We see that Enoch, he walked with the Lord. He walked with someone. And now we see Abraham. Bible says there, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham had no idea where he was going. You know, Pastor, before a few months ago, I didn't have a GPS. I recently got a GPS, and what a blessing those things are, amen, if you're traveling a lot. But, you know, sometimes I would be with my wife, and we would be traveling through a certain city, and we would be going around the same place twice and then three times, and then she would say, "Well, haven't we, already been through here?" And you know, us men, we just don't like to admit, that we're lost or that we don't know where we're going. And so I said, "No, I mean, I know where I'm going. I got this." But, I had no idea where I was going. But can you just think here, Abraham and Sarah, asked him, "So do you know where you're going, Abraham? Leaving your city and going to a place that you don't even know where it is. Have you put that in your GPS?" And, Abraham, it was just a time of faith. He just obeyed the Lord. It was just an immediate decision, a clear act of obedience, regardless of the circumstances. Even in his lifetime, Abraham did not see a great nation that was promised to him, but it was fulfilled later after his death. But you know what? Abraham was called the friend of God. The friend of God. Could that be said of your life? Could that be said of my life? David, the friend of God. When God says go, my friend, we better go. When God says obey, we better obey. When God says leave a certain place, we better leave. How would God be working in your heart today? And I'm just a missionary passing through, but I just want to encourage you and remind you that the Lord is still calling people to the mission field, that he's still calling people to preach the word of God. You may say, "But Brother David, I don't feel qualified. My friend, the Lord will take care of that. You just respond. You just obey to the Lord." And my friend, what a great need there is, not only in Argentina, but in all the world. And the Lord is coming soon, my friend. And we need to see, we need to give out the gospel so that more souls can be saved. Look there in verse 24, Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 24. Enoch, he displayed faith, great faith, by walking with God. He walked with someone, Abraham. He left somewhere. And we see here Moses, he refused something. He refused something. Verse 24, the Bible says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." And just read this verse. This verse 26 is just tremendous. "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For what? He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. My friend, Moses, he had everything laid out for him. Humanly speaking, he had all the pleasures, the money, you know, all the power, fame. He was potentially the grandson of Pharaoh, the most powerful person at that time on planet Earth. And we see here Egypt, a picture of the world. And he was being enticed. He was tempted to go to Egypt just to remain in the world. But he left that and went and served the Lord. And he went with the people of God and he served the Lord because he had his eye on the invisible. He had his eye on the reward. And Moses, he refused something. He refused the world and he refused the enemy. He esteemed the reward better. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Later it says, and the world passeth away. My friend, the world passeth away. It's only here for a few years, and then it's gone. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Young people, adult people, some of you might be contemplating, thinking about leaving the faith. Some of you might be saying, you know, this is not for me. I just don't believe in this. I'm just going to go try out the world for a little bit. You know, it's not worth it. My friend, it's not worth it. Choose to remain. I encourage you just to choose to remain in the scriptures, in the way, in the path of the Lord, in church, hearing the word of God and serving the Lord. My friend, put your faith on heavenly things and not on earthly things. It's not worth it. Let us please God by putting faith on the eternal. And finally there in verse 7, Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 7, we see the last example here. We see the life of Noah. Moses, he refused something, and Noah, he believed somehow. Verse number 7, the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen. Once again, we see that phrase, not seen. Couldn't be seen, couldn't be felt at that time. As yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. You know, rain had never happened. They don't think, you know, rain had happened before during Noah's time. And the Lord told him, you know, build this ark just so that your family can be saved from this worldwide flood that is going to come and destroy the whole world. And I can just imagine just people just mocking Noah, making fun of him. You know, Noah, what are you doing? Why are you building this ark? You know, it has never rained. I mean, why are you putting your family through this? And I can just think of the world sometimes questioning our faith, saying, why do you go to church 3 times a week? Why do you give your tithes to that place? Why do you do all these things? But my friend Noah, after 90 years, 100 years, 110 years, kept patiently trusting the Lord, building the ark, believing that the Lord would come through. My friend Noah put his faith in God. There was a missionary to Burma called Adoniram Judson. And during the 1800s, he went to Burma, which is a country there in Asia, in just a tropical climate there. And, you know, his wife died on the mission field. And then he remarried, and then his second wife, she died. And then he was constantly plagued by sicknesses. And then even the government gave him trouble. And they put him in jail. And they had a 32-pound chain attached to his body. And as he sat there in jail, you know, a fellow prisoner asked him, so, Mr. Judson, what are the prospects of the heathen getting saved now? I mean, look at you. You're in jail. What are you going to do now? And Mr. Judson replied, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. My friend, God has promised in his word that he will come through, that he will help us if we just put our faith in him. And my friend, what a great harvest of souls followed there in Burma, and many missionaries being called because of this man's faith. You know, faith in God moved Noah to action. Faith in God moved Mr. Judson to action, and faith in God will move you and I to action. Let us trust God that something big, you know, salvation of a family member. My grandmother in Illinois, we've been praying for her ever since I can remember. She's just a hardcore atheist. You can't even mention God or the Bible in front of her because she'll start screaming and yelling and just almost kick us out of the house. But we continue to pray and we continue to have faith that she will get saved. Maybe is it a health situation, a wayward child, maybe a financial situation. My friend, let us trust the Lord that He will provide, that He will guide. Believe in the Lord that He will do it. Let us not say I can't or that it won't happen, but let our faith increase. And let us be as the apostles and say, Lord, increase our faith. In verse 16 there, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16, one last verse that I just want to leave you here with. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. My friend, these heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 and many more that are mentioned, they had their eyes on the heavenly city. They had their eyes on heavenly things. My friend, I just want to encourage you, let us just be strangers, pilgrims passing through this earth, not getting attached to this world, because the things of the world are one day going to pass. In verse number 6 there, He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are you seeking Him tonight? How is your faith? How is my faith? Is it growing? Has it been stretched recently? Are we pleasing the Lord? My friend, that our faith may increase so that we can see great things done for the Lord here in the days to come. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I just want to ask the pastor if he would come and close as he desires.